Everybody said, well, Lance, are you preaching today? I said, no. And then somebody said, well, is Casey preaching? I said, no. And they said, well, who's preaching? And I said, well, Pastor Isaiah Merriweather from Haven Missionary Church here in Fort Wayne. And I don't know if you know this or not. We've done some projects with Pastor Ike in the past, but in the last, I think it's been within the last year, would you say, that you guys have become an official CNMA church? So there's actually three CNMA churches in Fort Wayne now, and Pastor Ike and Brian actually go back a long ways. I don't know where it all started. Maybe he's going to tell the story, maybe not. But I've gotten to know Ike over the last 5 years, and actually got the chance. They put on they always have a Good Friday service. And so several of the pastors, Pastor Ike asks to come, and there's been folks from Westview that have come and shared in that service, and Pastor Brian usually does, and I got the opportunity to do that this past Good Friday, and it was a privilege to do so. And so this morning, Pastor Ike is going to bring the word to us this morning. So welcome.
Thank you.
And your congregation as well.
A few of my people came with me, and I thank God for you all being here. Amen. All right. You know, again, it's amazing how life is. Pastor John Teshot and I are not only good friends, we're like brothers. And over 15 years ago, John tried to get me to become a member of the CMA. And I said, nah, you know, it's going to be the lone wolf. But at the same time, I realized that everyone needs to belong to something bigger than him. And the Lord laid it on my heart to become part of the CMA because I was impressed with what you guys stand for and what you do and how you love the brethren and how that everybody is somebody. And so if I want to be part of something, it's going to be that. And so we were blessed to become a part of that. You, your son is Isaiah, right? Well, again, when I came in, I felt comfortable because I met Isaiah. Yeah. But let him know that I'm the tree and he's the twig. All right. Oh, okay. All right. You know, everything that I'm to share with you have already been shared through testimony. And that lets me know that I'm at the right place. And it also let me know that God has given me the right message. And so again, I'm just glad to be here and I'm just excited what God is doing in our midst. What I do is, I want you to go with me, stand if you would. I want to share with you what God has laid on my heart, but I want you to open up your Bibles to Matthew's chapter 14. And we're going to read responsively verses 14 through 21. I will read the first verse, you'll read the next. We will conclude at verse 21. I will begin at verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. He said, bring them hither to me. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 basketfuls. Let us pray. Precious God, our Father, we thank you right now for what our ears have heard and what our hearts have been made to feel. We pray, Lord, your anointing upon your word. I pray, Lord, that you will touch me, your manservant, that you will anoint me, that you will touch me, and that you will use me to proclaim your truths to these, your people. We thank you, we praise you, in Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. Again, I was supposed to share a little about me. I'm Isaiah Merriweather. I'm married to Betty Merriweather. Betty, raise your hand. God has blessed us to be married 45 years. I've been pastoring now. It will be 25 years in December. We have the Church Haven Missionary Christian Church that we started. And again, we've struggled, but it's a labor of love. And so again, I will explain more in my message. Brother Brian, when I met him, he was a youth pastor at Westview Alliance. And that young man, he is such a joy to be around. He's just, if you share with him a problem that you got, he makes it his problem. And he feel like he's got to solve that problem, and everybody else's problem. He's just, when the Lord blessed my friend John Teshon to leave, the Lord replaced John with two friends, Brian and Jason, out at Westview Alliance. So again, Brian is a godsend, and I thank God for him. And I thank God for this opportunity to speak to you today. Let me just share with you, we all seem to want to be politically correct. We think various thoughts, and we're reluctant to admit what we think or how we feel. For instance, we conduct services different. We black folk, we get into it. We respond to the preaching. We clap our hands. We sing. We pray. Man, do we pray. Well, you get the picture. And you guys, you're more laid back. We're emotional, you're logical. Today, I want to tell you why the differences. As I speak to you from the subject, living on a prayer. Living on a prayer. Now go with me back to the scripture that was read in your hearing. It says that Jesus was ministering to a multitude of people, and it was over 5,000 people. And one of the disciples came to Jesus and says, "Master, they're hungry. We need to send them to the store so they can buy them some food." And Jesus says, "Well, you know, I'm sure Jesus thought everybody don't have money to buy some food." He says, "So wait a minute, Philip, what do you have?" Oftentimes we overlook what we have looking for more. And we don't appreciate that which God has already blessed us with. And Jesus says, "Philip, what do you have?" And Philip says, "We've only got five small fish and two loaves of bread. What are we going to do with that for all of these people?" Now, Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to see if anybody in the congregation had an idea of how we're going to minister to the needs of people. And again, what was the reality? The logic was, it's illogical for us to think on feed all these people this little food. Now, see, Jesus was not operating on logic. He was operating from faith. And so it says that Jesus, you see, all he had was five fish and two loaves of bread. Now, you can't do nothing with that if you really think about it. But listen, and that's all it was until Jesus prayed. See, when Jesus prayed, the word of God said that which he had multiplied to become what it was in order to do what needed to be done. Living on a prayer. So Jesus prayed. And as Jesus prayed, the food just stretched and stretched and stretched. So prayer does make a difference. The testimonies, the man was lost, but then here he come. Somebody prayed, and God answered that prayer. You know, prayer. I remember Hezekiah turning his face to the wall and praying, "Lord, I'm not ready to die right now." And God says, "I heard your prayer. I'm going to give you 15 more years." You know, when you live on a prayer, God makes miracles happen. In such a way that, you know, I told my people, We receive so many miracles so often that they are commonplace anymore. So we don't perceive miracles as miracles. You see, back in Jesus' day, it was necessary for him to walk around and touch people to heal them because they didn't have what we have today. What we have today are miraculous hospitals and miraculously trained staff in order to bring about cure for our ailments. And so that is a miracle. But in spite of the miracles, we still have to have some prayer. Now, again, my people, if you can't say amen, just raise your hand and say, he's the man. All right. All right. Again, I know we want to be politically correct. But let me tell you something. When I talk about Jesus, I can't help but get excited. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I know what it is to have to live off of prayer. I know, like the Apostle Paul says, I know what it is to have something, and I know what it is not to have nothing at all. But through it all, God remained faithful. So I'm warned that I'm a living witness that prayer does work, because daily, every day of my life, I'm living on a prayer. And I'm not ashamed to say that things are not always the way that I'd like for them to be, but I'm also able to say I thank God that they're not worse than what they are. Amen. Through it all, God is faithful. And so what the Lord did is he took what he had and he prayed, living on a prayer. And when the Lord prayed, he said, now distribute it to the people. And it kept on multiplying. And it kept on multiplying. And it says that over 5,000 people were able to eat. And when they got through eating, said that they were able, Jesus says, now take up the remainder of the food. And it says that they had 12 basketfuls left. And so God is not a God who just adds, he multiplies. He's the best mathematician in the world. And it's amazing how that they stopped when they got through eating. They had more food at the end than at the beginning. God is an awesome God, living on a prayer. And so listen, as I stated, that was just one example how Jesus fed the multitude. But see, we get all into it because when we be talking about testifying, we talk about how that we didn't know how in the world this thing was going to happen, and we prayed about it, and we call our friends and ask them to pray for us, and then we come Sunday, we testify that God answered the prayer. We need to tell people that God is a prayer answering God, and that we all need to realize that we're all living on prayer. And so that's why we get excited. This is why we shout. This is why we sing, because we're living on a prayer. Now, how effective is prayer? You know, again, we all want to know stuff all the time. And the question is, okay, you're talking about prayer. How much does prayer weigh? How much weight does prayer take? Let me just share this with you. There's a story. Louise Redding, a poorly dressed lady with a look of defeat on her face, walked into a grocery store. She approached the owner of the store in a most humble manner and asked if he could let her charge a few groceries. She softly explained that her husband was very ill and unable to work. They had 7 children and they needed some food. John Longhouse, the grocer, he scoffed at her and requested that she leave his store. Visualizing the family needs, she said, "Please, sir, I'll bring the money just as soon as I can." John told her he could not give her credit as she didn't have a charge account at his store. Standing beside the counter was a customer who overheard the conversation between the two. The customer walked forward and told the grocer man that he would stand good for whatever she needed for her family. The grocer man said in a very reluctant voice, "Do you have a grocery list?" Louise hesitated a moment. With a bowed head, she reached into her purse and took out a piece of paper and scribbled something on it. She carefully laid the piece of paper on the scale. The grocer man stared at the scale. The grocer showed amazement when the scales went down. And they didn't come back up. And he told her, he said, whatever the scale says is how much you'll get. So when she put the note on the scale didn't go down. So she proceeded to put groceries and groceries and groceries, and the scale never did tip. And so the man was upset because all of these groceries was piling up on the scale and there was no weight to the scale. So the customer smiled at the grocer, started putting the groceries on the scale. Finally, the man picked up the piece of paper, wondering what in the world is going on. And what he realized is that it was not a grocery list at all. It was a prayer which said, dear Lord, you know my needs, and I'm leaving this in your hands. The grocery man gave her the groceries that he had gathered and placed on the scales and stood in stunned silence. Louis thanked him and left the store. The customer handed a $50 bill to John as he said, it was worth every penny. It was sometimes later that John Longhouse discovered the scales were broken. Therefore, only God knows how much prayer weighs. I'm grateful for this opportunity to have ministered to you today. As well, I'm thrilled to be able to fellowship with you. You know, coming together is a beginning. Staying together is progress. And working together is success. God bless you and God forever keep you.